Hi guys, I'm here with Anna, and we are going to talk about failure, as we always. Are. So, yeah. How's it going?
It's fine. I mean, I'm stressed with dissertation, as we all are, I think. But yeah, I think it's okay. Do you want me to tell everyone a bit about who I am?
Yeah, and what you do? Yeah.
I'm a business student, University of Exeter. Yeah. But yeah, I'm doing my dissertation at the moment, and I'm doing okay, I think, but it's obviously constant panic always, but yeah.
We can enter it, it's fine.
We all are.
Yeah.
It's like a little support group at the minute in the library, I feel, with everyone working.
Yeah. It's nice as well because you're on this course that's very different to what we're doing, so it's nice to have like feedback from somebody that's completely out of the circle.
I'm just like constantly amazed by what you guys do. Like, I always say I'm not creative. I think everyone can be creative if they find the right thing.
Yeah.
But I do more academic type stuff. Yeah. Obviously, you still do academic stuff, but like, yeah, I do more like essays and stuff. Just to see you guys come out with these like incredible creative things, it just blows my mind. I'm like your biggest fan, like to both of you, you and Ellie. But
I'm amazed by what you do as well. When you say that you have like a deadline this week and then you have like a 3,000 word essay to do and you have like 3 days to do it, and you're like, it's fine.
Literally,
I'm just like, how?
The amount of deadlines we have is just crazy. Like, you just can't stop, especially like during term time. Like, this dissertation has been really tough, but we've got so much time. It just feels like an infinite amount. Whereas during term time, especially during deadline time, it's literally like a week turnover. Like, you do that thing and then you drop it and you do the next. Like, there's no time to panic. Yes. You just have to go.
Mental. I can't imagine that. Like, we have like 12 weeks to just panic and flail.
Yeah.
And you have like 3 days to just go, it's fine, and shoving
you
it.
You can't let yourself think too much in a way. Like, you just have to get results, if that makes sense. Like, you just have to do it. And I think that's very similar to the kind of environments a lot of the people on our course are going into, so that's probably why they do it.
Yeah.
And they throw a lot of different stuff at us too, and the briefs are quite vague, and you kind of have to just do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, we had our last ever presentations at the end of the term, and what everyone produced was so insanely different from each other.
Yeah.
And it was almost that thing of like, have I done it wrong? Because you're constantly comparing yourself to other people. It's the same as creative course in a way. Like,
yeah, I can imagine.
Not so much with essays, because we're all get given the same topic and you write similar things, but especially with like presentations and more kind of creative stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You compare yourself like constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy as well, like in first year and sort of like halfway through second year, everybody's producing the same kind of thing because everybody's got the same mindset and it's very like tunnel vision kind of thing. And you're like funneling your way. But in third year, it's everybody produces different things because you all go off into different branches. And I can imagine the same with your...
Yeah, it's definitely the same. I think throughout the years, the briefs got more and more open and it left you room to kind of do what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
But with that came like a sense of panic, because I think it's that constant thing of, am I doing it wrong?
Yeah.
I think that's the question we ask each other the most when we're doing group work is, are we doing this right?
Yeah.
Like, is it wrong? And a lot of the time it's not about right and wrong. It's about how you present your ideas. But it's still that feeling of like, am I doing this wrong? Constantly.
Yeah.
And that doesn't go away.
Yeah, I don't think it ever goes away. And until you're your own boss.
Yeah.
And even then you're like, oh, am I doing this right in the world kind of thing?
It's just constant uncertainty in yourself, I feel.
Yeah.
Like when you're doing anything, like especially when other people are judging it in a way, like, that's what it feels like. It's like, you know that you're not the only one that's going to... Like, someone's going to sit down and mark this and judge it and say why you've done it wrong and why you've done it right.
Yeah.
And then when you read through the feedback and you obviously agree with them, but it's just the thing of, like, why didn't I see it before? And it's because you're just so wrapped up in it.
Yeah. And obviously, like, markers, they look at everything very objectively, whereas I think when you're making the work, obviously, you look at it very emotionally, I think. And I think especially with your course and, like, how you are as a person... You're like, everything that you're doing it for other people, I think, because you're like, you're very passionate with your views and things. So looking at it emotionally, you're like...
I'm quite different to a lot of people in my course. Not that they don't have similar like values, but a lot of people in my course want to go into, you know, finance types of jobs or management or that kind of thing, or they're going on to do postgrad in like, you know, data analysis or and that kind of thing. And I think it's really cool. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But there's no one that I found in my course who wants to do what I want to do, which is go into the third sector and do charities and stuff like that and work with that kind of thing. Yeah. Obviously, they might want to do that in the future, I don't know, but yeah. And I think a lot of the time I have a very ethical standpoint.
Yeah.
And not that other people don't, I'm sure they do, but it's very strong with me. So with a lot of the work we do, someone would say, like, for example, oh, the business could do this, and there's something in the back of my mind going, but that wouldn't be very ethical. Mm-hmm. But I can't say anything because they're not wrong. Like, it's still an option. And I think it's hard for me sometimes because I know what I mean and I know why I feel the way I feel, but it's hard to sometimes get that across to someone else who has a completely different mindset.
Yeah.
And when I'm writing my dissertation, for example, it's about third sector organisations, so charities mainly, and how they deal with being contracted by the public sector, which is, most people have no idea what that means. But essentially, the government will come and say, hey, can you do this for us? A bunch of charities say, we can do it the best, and then blah, blah, blah. And then a charity gets that commission, and then they go ahead and do whatever it is, whether it's working with old people, blah, blah, blah. And I know what the issues come with that, and because I've seen it, I've worked with a lot of charities, I've spoken to a lot of people, and I know what those issues are, and I know why it matters, but being able to get someone else to understand that is hard, because if you haven't had the same experience that I have, you might not get it.
Yeah.
And I think I'm getting frustrated in my dissertation because I'm reading it, trying to see it from someone who has no idea what I'm on about, and I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just not gonna, it's all gonna fall apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Great. Yeah.
Do you ever experience creative block, do you think? Even though your course is very academic. Because I mean, I think there's academia in all creative subjects, I think there's a creative aspect to all academic subjects as well.
Yeah.
They sort of
There is. Yeah.
So
I don't know if I call it creative block, I'd probably call it like writer's block almost.
Okay, yeah.
I think there are just some topics where I think it's probably being in my own head most of the time. But there's just this feeling of like, I can't do this, or I don't understand. And that panic just takes over and it means like I can't do anything.
Yeah.
And the most recent time that came up is we were doing a presentation as a group on globalization, and we chose a topic about a huge merger and acquisition, and that's not my area at all. And I just panicked. I felt like a kid again, like in a math class I couldn't understand. Like, that's how I felt. Like, I just can't do this. That just feeling came over me, and I was sat there with all my research in front of me, and instead of just tackling it like any other topic I would, for some reason something about it just made me go, I can't write anything. And it took a good few days to just get over that feeling. And you know, I tried working on other stuff and that was fine, and it was just this particular thing that just made me just stop, and I didn't know how to start. And it wasn't until the last minute where it was literally like, now or never, you have to do it, that I was able to. And it took a lot of work. It took support from Christina, who's one of the girls in my course, who's just amazing. And she kind of helped, and we looked through it all. And eventually, after listening to other people's parts and kind of understanding it more, I was able to get over that feeling of panic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just this thing of like, I don't understand, I'm going to do it wrong.
Yeah.
And I think it was especially because I was in a group where my work counted for other people too.
Yeah.
Made it even worse.
That pressure.
Because it was like, if I do this wrong, I'm bringing other people down. And that was worse. Like, if I was doing it on my own, eventually I probably would have gotten over the fear, but it was because other people were counting on me.
Yeah.
It made it worse. A lot worse.
Yeah. It's like this paralysis, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you just literally can't do anything.
Yeah. And it's really hard.
Oh, it's horrible. How did you, like, did you do anything to try and pull yourself out of it? Or was it sort of like Christina?
It was my friend, and listening to other people in my group and listening to what they were doing and learning. But it was also just saying, like, you've done other ones before that were hard and you managed that. You've just got to think. I think once you get to a certain level with a certain topic, like I've been doing business since GCSE, and I've always been good at it.
Mm.
So when I find topics in university, which I really, really struggle with, it makes me go, I'm not good enough. Like, I'm not actually good at this. Like, I've just somehow got here by some fluke. I think it's that, like, imposter syndrome almost.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not actually good enough. I just somehow got here by mistake. And I think once I sat down and go, you are good at this. Like, you've been doing it for 2 years. You get good grades. You're going to be okay. Just sit and read and learn and know that you have a capacity to learn, you just need to put a little bit more work into this. Like,
yeah.
It's just not going to come as easy as some other stuff, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And kind of giving yourself a break, I think.
Yeah, giving yourself a break is it's a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, when things are tough, the worst thing you can do is be hard on yourself, because it's like you're your own worst enemy in a way. Like, if you're not on your side, then what have you got, kind of thing.
That's
you have
so
to be on
true.
Your own side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the biggest thing I've learned in university is like, be on your own side, like be your own like biggest fan, because if you're not, who else have you got, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, your friends are going to support you 100%, but if you don't believe in yourself, it doesn't really matter, because you're the one that has to do it at the end of the day. So like, don't make it worse for yourself. Like, just, yeah.
Matt, that's so powerful, man. God.
Yeah, no, that's something I learned, was just like, especially if you've got like mental health as well, like beating yourself up is the worst thing you can do, because your brain's already doing it for you.
Yeah.
So like, try and take some control away from it and just say like, it's okay. Like, if you're having a hard time, you're having a bad day, the worst thing you can do is berate yourself for it.
Yeah.
Like, you're already having a bad day. Why are you making it worse for yourself? Like, why are you sitting there going, you're lazy, you're stupid, you're not good enough, like, you're not going to do it, you can't do it. Like, instead, just go, you know what? Let go of it. Just kind of let go of it and say, this is a really bad day. And okay, that's fine. Let's just ride it out. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, easier said than done, obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know.
But yeah, that's really interesting. Do you think you're on your own side?
With some things.
Yeah.
I think it's a learning process. It's a learning curve. With some things, yeah. Like, I'm on my own side when it comes to, I know what I'm passionate about and I'm not going to let go of it. And I think I've come across some times where people have made me feel bad. Like, especially sometimes, not my immediate family, but other family members. Like, you're too young. You don't know how you really feel. You'll understand when you're older. Like, yeah, you want to save the world. It's this whole, you're naive and you want to save the world. And really, you'll realize one day that the world's messed up and you can't do anything about it. And like, they make you feel like, oh, well, when you're older, you'll think like me. Like, you'll stop being so social, you know, not social justice really, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll stop caring about these things and you'll just want to get a job just like me. And I've got like courage in my convictions, in a sense. Like, I know what I think is right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stick to it. And I know that what I want to do when I'm older is work on that stuff and be a part of a charity and work to make social change.
Yeah.
And that's not like a pipe dream. It's not just this crazy thing. It's a real thing that I can do. And I know I can do it because I've gone and worked with other people who do it every day.
Yeah.
And it's not just it's not a phase.
Yeah.
Sounds so stereotypical, but it isn't.
Yeah.
This is what I know I'm passionate about. And I'm going to do it. So I have courage in that. And I believe in myself when it comes to that. And I know how I feel about it. And I know that's what I want to do. And I don't really care that I could take my business degree and do something that earns me way more money.
Yeah.
Like, people say they don't care about money. And it's kind of like, yeah, but you really do. But
yeah.
I do. I want enough to be able to sustain myself. But I don't want to be earning six figures. I want to be doing, when I could be doing something I actually care about.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about accounts and stock markets.
Yeah.
Like, I care about people every single day that are struggling. And if I can take my degree and help them, that's what I'm going to do. But then I don't think I'm on my side sometimes with other things. Like, I mean, lots of stuff, I think. I think sometimes I can panic and then I don't help myself, because even though I know that maybe I'm being irrational, it just all becomes this big ball of stress and panic, and instead of just taking a step back and breathing, I just, it's kind of like over exaggerating stuff, and kind of like thinking the worst. And I think a lot of the time that comes with like my relationships with people. Like friendships, relationship with family. Like, I get very like stressed out that I'm not being a good friend or whatever. I don't know why. Like, I think it's just, I think I'm failing other people.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm on my side with that. Like, I know I'm a good friend. I know I'm there for people. But I always think I can do better, you know?
Yeah, I'm exactly the same.
Yeah.
That's the thing, that everybody has, like, that one thing that that just stresses them out and just completely paralyzes them.
Yeah.
And I think I'm very much like you in that sense. I know that Ellie's very much like that around work. I know Maya's very much about like relationships and that kind of thing. It's all, everybody has that one thing, and it just trumps everything else.
Yeah,
it's
really strange how you can't take those coping skills and apply them somewhere else for some reason.
Yeah.
And you probably could eventually with some work.
Yeah, and time.
And time, always time.
Yeah.
I think I just if I think someone's annoyed at me, I completely panic. I just think that's the worst thing ever. And yeah. it probably goes back to when I was a kid because I was bullied a lot in school.
Okay, yeah.
And I was in some friendship groups where I was kind of like, I don't know what the best way to put it, but the bottom of the social hierarchy.
Okay, yeah.
And everyone else thought I was worse than them. And so I thought I wasn't as good as them, if that makes sense. And I was always kind of treading on eggshells. Like, if I upset someone, they're going to turn around and they're going to berate me and the whole group is going to berate me.
Okay.
That was the kind of environment I was in. So now, even though I'm way more confident and I know what I'm doing and, like, I'm a much different person,
yeah,
lot less insecure, I still panic when I think people are annoyed at me because yeah. I think it's all going to happen again, if that makes sense. I'm like, I'm going to lose everyone, which is ridiculous because it's yeah. not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I just don't have that courage of, it's going to be okay. They're not, they might be annoyed at you now, but it's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people know that either. Probably not even my housemates. Like, they probably don't know that if we have an argument, I do freak out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's mental.
Yeah, it is.
Just like thinking about things like that. And it's just like tiny things. Like,
yeah.
It's really weird. Most people get sort of upset when people read their message but don't reply. That doesn't bother me because it means that they just haven't read. I don't know.
They'll get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas when people have been active but haven't read my message, that's when I start panicking.
Because I'm ignoring you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they like won't even take the time to read the message. That's what I can't deal with. Mm. So like,
social media is just like a whole minefield for that. And like, I get really anxious when my boyfriend doesn't reply.
Yeah.
Especially because we're long distance when I'm in uni.
Yeah.
And I know he loves me. Obviously, we call every single night. We're so good together. But still, if he doesn't get back to me for a few hours, I just freak out.
Yeah.
And because I'm scared he's going to just, he'll never reply? That's ridiculous.
But yeah.
It's still that feeling of like, where's he gone? Like,
yeah.
Why do they, do they hate me? Have I done something wrong?
Yeah. It's just the irrational. Like,
yeah, it's completely irrational. But you just can't stop.
Yeah. It just completely consumes everything that you're doing. And it, yeah.
For me, I've always categorized my anxiety, like the feeling it's like ice. Like through my entire veins, that's how it feels. Like it starts in my stomach and it just spreads across my entire body. And the worse it gets, the more intense it is. And I just feel like, that's how it feels.
Wow, I completely understand that.
Yeah, it just takes over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. My face, I can't feel it. I go numb everywhere. Mm-hmm. And
I get that too.
It's horrible, but it's just, I guess it's like, it's the fear of failing your friends.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
It's the fear of failing your friends. It's the fear of failing just in your relationships and, not being good enough.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. I think failure does come down to just not being good enough.
Yeah.
Like, am I good enough for him? Am I good enough for my friends? Am I doing enough for everyone? Like, I get really anxious when I argue with my mum. It's my mum. Like, my mum's not going to leave me. Like, she's my mum. She's been there from the very start.
Yeah.
Like, she's not going to just turn around and be like, you're not in my life anymore. It's my mum. Yeah. Like, obviously that does happen to some people, but I know my mum's not going to do that. But
yeah.
I still have that feeling of like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Because I just want to be good enough.
Yeah.
And like, it happens in work too, obviously. But I think fear of failure can happen in lots of different aspects of people's lives. And it's really hard to overcome.
It's funny. They say that, that you make 32,000 decisions every year or something.
That's crazy.
And it's like, I think there's also this kind of small anxiety with, what if I make the wrong decision?
Yeah.
Even though like we've made the decision to sit down here, we've made the decision to put these stands up a bit higher.
Yeah.
We've like tiny, tiny little decisions. And like the fear of failing, like each of those decisions, even though they're like tiny things, I think is really... It really takes a lot of your sort of headspace and your thought power. It is
because it's the thing of like, if I do this one thing wrong, what's the ripple effect?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen? Like, did I go to the right university? Did I do this? And my biggest like coping mechanism to deal with that is kind of like letting go. And it sounds really cliche, but it's the truth. Like, sometimes you've just got to acknowledge that some things are out of your control.
Yeah.
And like, I've kind of gathered this whole like, different mantras and stuff to deal with just life, I guess.
Yeah.
But one of my biggest things is like, try not to worry about things you can't change.
Yeah.
Because if you can't change it, you're wasting energy.
Yeah.
Like, it's better if you're going to worry about something you can actually do something about, yeah, you might be spending too much energy on it, but at least it's something that will actually have an outcome.
Yeah.
But if you're worrying about things you can do nothing about, well, what's the point? All you're doing is wasting energy.
Yeah.
Like, and it, trust me, it's hard to do. It definitely is. But I think an example of that was, this is probably not a good advice to take for anyone, but
okay.
there was this finance or accounting exam, and I've always struggled with maths. Like, that's always been one of the things in, and I'm a business student, that I obviously can do maths.
Yeah.
But it's not my strong point. I'm better with essays and sort of like business psychology and the people stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I struggled with it, and I knew that I wasn't going to get a good grade on it. But I also knew that because of how I'd performed previously, that no matter what, I was going to get a 2-1.
Okay, yeah.
Like, it didn't matter if I literally failed it, I was still going to get a 2-1 overall because of how much of the percentage it actually was overall.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And I probably shouldn't have done this. I probably should have still tried, but I didn't. I just went, you know, I'm not even gonna pick up a book. I'm just gonna, what's the point?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's how you should apply it to academics or to like work and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you should do that. That is not my advice to people, because I should have really tried and at least learned something. But it was that thing of letting go and just deciding, you know what, the energy I spend on this is gonna make me panic and freak out so much. And it's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how I do, it's not going to do anything. Like, I'm like a mid 2-1 I was in first year. I'm a mid 2-1. And if I go down a little bit or go up a little bit, it doesn't even count finally for my degree either.
Yeah.
Because first year doesn't count. So it was more the thing of like the panic it was going to take to look at all of this stuff that I just couldn't grasp.
Yeah.
It was just, I would rather go out with my friends.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I wouldn't recommend that, because obviously you should always try your best on everything. But at the same time, it was the thing of letting go of that failure. And I knew I was going to fail. I walked into the exam knowing I was going to fail.
Yeah.
And I walked out knowing I'd failed. But there was no power in it, because it was a decision that I made.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that I was going to do that. So there was no panic there.
Yeah.
And I think that can apply to some other things, because you can kind of say, like, this friend and me, we're not getting on anymore. And I can tell that they've let go and they've decided we're not really going to speak anymore.
Yeah.
So what's the point of putting all the energy into trying to fix it? Because you're not going to, at the end of the day, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So just let go and just don't be scared, and it's going to be okay. You know? Yeah.
Oh, that's so... It's amazing. Yeah. It's also like, it's putting your mental and like not work, putting everything else above work and something that's like really going to stress you out and make you panic, and it's putting your mental health above that.
That's so hard to do.
Yeah,
that's really hard to do, because I don't think a lot of people value their mental health really, not the way that they value physical health. And I think it's the same thing in a way, because mental health can kill. Like, it really can. Like, it's the same as physical health in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
like, your brain is an organ, and your mental health is above all in some ways, because it can be so debilitating.
Yeah.
And like, it's such a fine balance, because it's almost linked to personality in a way too. Like, people can't untangle it.
Yeah.
So if you're having a day where you're feeling really low in motivation and down, and not necessarily depressed, you don't have to use those words, but if you're feeling that way, it's so easy to make the link of, it's because I'm lazy, it's because I'm not good enough, it's because of this and that. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes your brain, it just isn't your best friend that day.
Like, yeah.
You're just feeling that, and you can't help it. It's just the same as if you woke up with really aching bones and you're just feeling really ill.
Yeah.
You can't help it. It's not something you can do anything about. So just give yourself a break and look after yourself.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't make it to a lecture one day because you've panicked or anxious or upset, you're not failing. You're just a person. You're not perfect. Like, it's okay. And that doesn't mean you can say, I'm never going to go to a lecture. You can't do that. You do have to try and work on things. But if you're just overwhelmed one day, that's all right. Like, you're not perfect. You're a person. It's going to be fine. Like,
so true.
Give yourself a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, mental health just encompasses everything, because it's everything that's in your psyche.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you've got a sprained ankle, you can still do other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't impact everything.
Whereas, it doesn't spread.
If you're having, like, a really down day, it impacts everything. Like, absolutely everything
that
you do.
And it makes you feel like a failure.
Yeah.
It does. It makes you feel like, I'm not... Why am I feeling this way when someone else isn't? It's because there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
There isn't something wrong with you. Like, you're fine. It's going to be okay. mental health is so complicated. It's something I still haven't figured out. And I mean, I've gone to counsellors, I've worked on it so hard, and I've got like a kind of toolkit of how to deal with things.
Yeah.
But I still don't know exactly how to. There are still some days where it's completely overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it's also something that's really hard to talk about because there's so much stigma with it.
Yeah.
Like, I can sit here and talk to you because I know you and you're my friend, but I couldn't probably sit here with, you know, someone on my course that I don't really know that well and just openly talk about it. Whereas if I could openly tell them I've got a sprained ankle.
Yeah.
But I couldn't openly tell them, hey, I didn't do that presentation the other day because I literally felt like I was going to have a panic attack because I don't know if they're going to understand that.
Yeah.
Like, because it's all in your brain. And so people immediately link that to personality and say it's because you're not confident enough or you're not strong enough to do it or you're just lazy or you just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not that. It's that it's so hard. But you do feel like a failure.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's, yeah. It's horrible.
It is. But there's also, like, it does get better. Like, it's not even just a cliche happy, it gets better. It's the truth. Like, it does.
Yeah.
It is something you can work on. It's kind of like going back to the sprained ankle. It's like doing physiotherapy, you know? Like, you might never be perfect, but it will... It takes work. You've got to do the work, but it will get better. You just have to try really hard.
Really hard.
And sometimes you need medication. Not me personally, but I've got friends that do, and that's okay too. Like, there's a lot of stigma around taking meds as if it's some sort of cop out. It isn't. Like, some people need it, so take it. It's like you would if you had some sort of illness. So just do it. It's gonna be okay. You're not a failure for taking medication, you know? Yeah.
This is a big one. What would you say your biggest failure is?
That is a big one. I don't know if I've got one huge failure. I've probably had a lot of little failures that I kind of, yeah.
What was the first thing that came to your head?
Really stupid, but my driving test was the first thing that came to my head. It's such a stupid thing, but that was the first thing. I failed my first driving test, and I failed that accounting exam, but that was a choice, so it was different. I've never actually failed an exam ever that wasn't other than that accounting exam where I kind of chose to. I've never failed an exam. So failing my driving test was the first time I'd ever failed an exam. It's because it's a test and didn't know what to do. I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't handle it. I just didn't know what to do. Like, I was fighting back tears the entire way my driving instructor was driving me home. And I went, yeah, I'm okay, it's fine. Yeah, no, I know I'll do it next time. I know I'll do it next time. And he was like, yeah, you okay? And he was looking at me like, is she going to cry? And I didn't. And then I closed my front door and there was no one in the house. Burst into tears. And I literally just broke down crying. And it's so stupid because so many people fail their driving test. So many people do it. But I think it was because I'd spent so many hours and so much money that I'd earned to pay for it.
Yeah.
And it all felt like a waste. Like, I'd just thrown it all away and I'd failed and I'd upset everyone and that my parents were going to be disappointed in me, which they weren't. Yeah, it just felt like it was because I put so much work into it and I honestly did my best.
Yeah.
And I still failed and that felt really bad. Like, really bad.
Yeah.
Because it's when you do your absolute best and it's still not good enough, that's like heartbreaking.
Yeah. That's probably the biggest like thing of I feel like a failure.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like a worthy human. That's like when you try your absolute best.
And like, I'd seen so many of my friends, especially because I did it so late, like I only passed the last summer because I had to work to earn the money and also like just time going to uni and all of that. I finally found the time to do it. And so many of my friends had passed at 17. And actually the day I failed my test, my sister's friend who's 17 passed. It was fine. I was genuinely happy for her.
Yeah.
I genuinely was. I'm not really a jealous or resentful person, really. I don't really get that feeling. I was genuinely happy for her, but it was still that thing of like, she can do it and you can't. It was more of a comparison kind of thing. It was like, why can she do it and I can't? Like, what's wrong with me? And there's nothing wrong with me. I've just got a really bad sense of direction and I panic at roundabouts. Like, you're not a bad person.
Yeah.
For like freaking out at roundabouts. Roundabouts are scary. Like, they are. Sorry, but it's true. Yeah.
What was the second or third thing that came into your head?
I think it was when I was a kid, I was like terrified of maths. Sounds stupid. I'll explain. I always found maths really difficult and it was the thing of like, I would listen so intently to the teacher and I would try really hard, but something about the numbers never translated in my head.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I hated maths either. It was genuinely like a fear. Like, I didn't hate maths because when I finally figured out, it was like a puzzle. When I finally figured it out, I did feel good. Like, I enjoyed that. But it was just something that never really translated in my head. And there was one day in, like, I remember this so vividly, in year five, with this teacher. I was really struggling with the problems and I was honestly trying so hard. Like, I was listening really hard and I was really distracted that day for some reason. And I just only did like 3 questions when I was supposed to do 10, something really stupid. And I don't know what was wrong with that teacher that day, but she berated me in front of the whole, yeah, it was bad.
Oh,
in front of the whole class.
Okay.
Sent me outside, and then every maths class for the next couple of weeks, I had to sit outside on my own. I wasn't allowed to sit in the class. And when you're a kid, that's terrifying.
Mm.
Like, because every teacher come past asks you why you've been sent out and why are you in trouble. And then obviously that just solidified my fear of maths and my fear of failing at it, because I just wasn't as good as it. I was always so good at English because I was such a book nerd when I was a kid, still am.
Yeah.
But maths, just the numbers just didn't work for me the way they did for other kids.
Mm.
And when I went up to comprehensive school, it was still stuck with me. And I was put in set one because of my scores on those tests that you do when you're a kid.
Yeah.
So I was put in set one for everything, and I shouldn't have been in there. Like, I was out of my depth and I knew it, but I never said anything. And I managed to stay in set one all the way up to GCSE by the skin of my teeth.
Whoa.
But I watched all the other kids in the class just get it. And I couldn't just get it. And it wasn't that I was bad at maths. I just wasn't a set one kid. I should have been in set two, set three maybe.
Yeah.
Where I could have been given that a bit more support. And everyone else might have been on my level and I might have felt a little bit better about myself.
Yeah.
But because I was constantly scraping by and just doing good enough, but I was never as good as anyone else in the class. And I always felt that failure feeling, because they would whiz through a topic and the teacher would ask everyone, does everyone understand? And everyone would go, yeah, of course, easy. And I'm sitting there going, I don't understand. But I don't want to put my hand up because then I'm a failure.
Yeah.
To everyone else, I'm a failure. And I... honestly, I didn't hate maths. I feared it. Like, every time it was on my timetable, I would know exactly what lesson it was going to be and when it was going to come. And if we had it after break, the entire break, I would be thinking about it.
Wow.
And it was just so scary.
Yeah.
But in the end, it was the grade on my GCSEs that I was the proudest of, because I worked so hard and I got a B. And I had A's and A stars, but that B was my proudest grade. And, like, I talk about it to this day, because the fact I was able to still get a good grade, I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
And, like, to the rest of my class, getting a B was a bad thing. But yeah. To me, it was the coolest thing ever. Like, that was so good, because I honestly thought I was going to fail.
Yeah.
Honestly, convinced I was going to fail. So to get a B was, like, over the moon.
Wow, that's...
Yeah.
Oh. I was kind of like that as well, in the sense that I thought I was going to get at least... sort of 3 or 4 D's, because I'm not academic and I hate studying. I mean, everybody hates studying. Yeah. But like, I fucking despised it. Yeah.
Being forced as well to look at a topic that you're not maybe interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were in France because we were on holiday when I got my results, and because the school that I went to, that very like academic, very, you know, everybody got A's and A stars, and, you know,
it's
and
the worst.
Yeah. And everybody just like glided through. And all I wanted was like a couple B's, and I would have been like completely over the moon. And I remember the person in the office reading out my results to me over the phone.
Yeah.
And I had a list of all of the subjects down. And I was like, I was going to write the letters sort of next to it. And my mum and dad were sort of like around the table.
God,
and then like our two friends, two family friends were like around the table, and they were sort of like listening and everything.
Oh,
and yeah, and she read out the first one. She said English literature, I think it was, B, which I was like, oh my fucking God, like I've got a B in English. What the hell?
Yeah.
And she sort of read it out really shakily, as if like I would be not
upset
happy.
By it.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. And my mum was like screaming and like,
yeah.
And
hands
then,
in the air.
Yeah. And so obviously that she heard that, and she was like, oh, okay. Obviously, you know, she's not, she's going to be happy with these results.
Yeah.
So then the person on the phone was like reading them out, and she was like, she sounded really happy and everything. And I think I ended up getting like 5 B's, an A, and 4 C's, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't fail anything. And it was just, I genuinely thought I was going to fail like so many of them. Like, especially ICT, and DT mm-hmm. and all of that, and it's just crazy. And I remember I got B's in maths as well,
yeah.
and just being like completely yeah. over the moon.
Because failure is like totally relative, like 100%.
Yeah.
Like it is not the same for every person, because I know that there are some people who, if they'd have gotten that B, would have considered it a failure.
Yeah.
So it's really strange how people don't consider it the same way.
Yeah.
Like for some people, failing an exam is just not an option. Like it's not, that's not going to happen. But if they get the B or the C, to them, that's a failure. And I kind of relate to that. That was kind of me in some areas.
Yeah.
Like I got, ended up getting changed. That's a long story. But I ended up getting a B overall in sociology for A level.
Okay, yeah.
And it was my favourite subject. I loved my teacher. And to get that B felt like a failure, which is really odd because the B for maths was a complete success.
Yeah.
But it felt like a complete failure. And in the end, he ended up calling me and telling me that one of my things had been remarked because it was so low compared to all the others that they picked it up naturally on their system.
Okay.
So it got marked as a D, which was really odd because I'd had pretty much consistent A's and they were like, well, what's going on? Looked at it, got remarked up to a B. Wild.
Yeah.
So I got an A overall. And my teacher's voice on the other end of the phone like was so shaky when he told me, he's like, because I was like, what the hell? Why am I getting a call from Mr. Riordan? Like, why is he calling me? And then he called me and told me, yeah, you've got the A, they remarked it. And I was just like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, I'm so, but like, I was almost happy for him and not me.
Yeah.
Because most of what that feeling hung on was other people. Like, I didn't want to let my parents down and I didn't want to let my teachers down.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing. And it was also the competition, because it's always competition in school and in university with other people.
Yeah.
Like, I was the best at business. I was the best in my class. So if I'd have been second, it wasn't that I wouldn't have been happy for that other person. It was just the thing of, like, I'm not the best. And that would have been a failure too, because I think everyone wants to be the best at something.
Yeah.
You know, you want to feel like that's my thing. Like, I'm the best at that. Like, that's my thing. And if you don't have that, it's a bit weird. Like, it's a bit, you're not sure of yourself. Like, I think being able to be the best at something gives you a purpose. I think I've let go of that now in university, because I've understood that you're never going to be the best at anything.
No.
Just be the best you can be is fine. But in school, I definitely felt that pressure to, like, be the best at stuff. Yeah.
And I think also coming from being the best, because I was, like, the highest in my, because I did a BTEC mm-hmm. in photography, and I was like, I think, yeah, I was like the highest in my class.
Yeah.
Coming to university where everybody was the highest in their class,
found that really
hard. Yeah, and then not being the highest, and you're like, oh shit, mm-hmm. like this is, maybe I need to rethink it and like rethink who I am as.
You've got to reposition yourself and your thinking, I think. You've got to take a step back and say, like, it's not about being better than other people anymore. It's about being the best you can be and finding what your thing is.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that was finding what I'm passionate about. And actually that realization of, like, because I'd always been passionate about, like, politics and about, like, my beliefs. And because of the background I come from and seeing, like, so many people really struggle around me. Not necessarily myself. My family's always been pretty okay. But definitely around my area, watching so many kids struggle and come to school with shoes that weren't, you know, broken and stuff like that. And knowing that it wasn't just because they hadn't been bothered to go get new shoes, it was because they couldn't.
Mm.
And I was always aware of that. I always saw it. And it was like other people couldn't, but I could. And I don't know why, I just could. I could see it. And knowing that it was always the poorer kids that got bullied. And it was, you know, and like knowing that I could take that feeling of like injustice in a way and channel it into something and say, actually, there is an avenue for you to take what you're good at and apply it. That's me being the best at that. Like, if that makes sense, like, that's my personal area. And as long as I can be my absolute best at that particular thing, then that's okay. Like, I don't need to be the best at accounting.
Yeah.
I don't need to get the highest grades on my course. I can just know that that's my thing, if that makes sense. And finding that purpose is, like, really helpful. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. I love that. Yeah. Nice. Thank you.
It's fine.
Thank you for talking to me.
That's
this
okay.
has
been really,
really
good.
Yeah, it's been so interesting. It's like, it's really interesting seeing how your mind works, sort of like, as opposed to other people, because you're very like, you've thought about it a lot, I think.
I'm very self-reflective.
Yeah.
I've always been that way. And I think it came from doing some counselling, but it also came from, like, I think I've had like a rough upbringing. Like, I didn't have the best childhood. I got bullied in school. And I think for a lot of people, they can self like internalize that and make them think that they're a bad person, like they're the problem.
Yeah.
But I just had this idea of like the way other people treat you doesn't always, you shouldn't always reflect that on yourself.
Yeah.
Like just because they're being horrible to you does not mean you're a horrible person. It probably means they've got some issues.
Yeah.
And just not like taking their horrible treatment of yourself and making you think you're a horrible person.
Yeah.
But that took a lot of work. And I think it was just, I came to a tipping point about sixth form where I just had this revelation of like, I don't want to be treated like this anymore. And that's not me. Like all these things people are telling me, it's not true.
Yeah.
And like, it took a long time to get to where I am now, like literally 5 years. But I think it was just taking back that power of like, other people can't make you fail and you're not a failure just because other people tell you you are.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, taking the power back into your own hands and saying, actually, like, there's a lot about me that's really powerful. And
yeah.
Like, just because other people make you feel weak doesn't mean you are. And it's okay to just be like, actually, there's some really cool things about myself and I'm going to keep reflecting and keep working on them.
Yeah.
And I think it took a lot of strength and like coping to deal with it.
Yeah.
But once I came through the other side, and it was probably second year.
Yeah.
Probably when I finally did that, where I was like, okay, I know who I am. Like, I really do. I think that's one of my biggest strengths is like, I'm very like self-aware.
Yeah.
I know who I am as a person.
Yeah.
Being able to take that, you can apply it to everything. And you also keep learning and like taking lessons, and it never stops. But I think I've come a long way.
That's nice. I love that. There's this book called The Four Agreements. I can't remember who it's written by, but one of the agreements, it's sort of like the four agreements for life, and to sort of reach enlightenment kind of thing while you're still living, is don't take anything personally.
Yes, and very true.
Yeah, it's really weird because when I first read it, I was like, you're always going to take stuff personally, and like, it's just really odd because you don't think about it until somebody says that, or like until it's sort of pointed out to you that how other people treat you and how other people think about you and stuff like that, it is all their own doing. It's all from their own opinions, like their own life instances that have, you know, things that have happened in life where they look at things differently to how you would. And it's you literally can't take anything personally.
I mean, one of my biggest battles, and it's probably why, going back to what I said before, where I freak out about friendships and stuff, is because I'm so worried about what other people think of me. Like, that hasn't stopped.
Yeah.
But it's something you just work on every day. And you just, like you said, don't take it personally. And you've just got to understand that, like, every single person you ever meet has a different you in their head.
Yeah.
I've read that before. I don't know where. And you can't do anything about it. You've just got to try and know yourself and know who you are and keep working on that and know your faults as well. Like, it's not just about knowing your strengths. It's about knowing what you're not good at too.
Yeah.
Like, I know that there are times where I can probably take things too personally and I you know, get too annoyed or too anxious or too whatever. And I'm an emotional person and it takes over sometimes.
Yeah.
And I know that's something I have to work on, and that's fine too. But it's accepting that and being like, that's who I am. It's not that there's nothing I can do about it, but you're not always going to change the intrinsic parts of yourself. All you can do is try and balance it and manage those things about yourself and try not to let those things hurt other people, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But just still accept that I'm always going to be too emotional. Like, I'm always am. I know I am. I've been it since I was a kid. All I can do is manage that and channel it in a good way.
Yeah.
And I think you just got to do that about all aspects in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm only 20, so,
yeah.
You know, so. You might sit down with me and not that we're going to, but in 10 years time, it'll be completely different. But
Let's set that goal.
It'd be cool, right? But yeah, you know, I could be completely different in 30 years and I probably will be, but that's fine too. Like, it's okay. Everything's okay. That's my main thing. It's like, it's okay. It'll be fine. Just let go.
Yeah. It'll all work out in the end. It always does.
Always does. Just got to get there.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. If only we could fast forward.
And, like, meeting your friends, too, and, like, talk to people is a huge thing. Like, talk to people. Like, having conversations like this, you don't have to do it on a podcast.
No.
Like, me and Ali sit down and have conversations like this all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, it's good to just talk.
Yeah.
Talking is, like, the biggest form of therapy. Like, just sitting down having a conversation is like therapy. There's a lot of what I did with my counselors is just talk the entire time.
I love that. Talking, just communication. That's like the biggest thing. As long as you communicate with people, then there's never going to be any cross lines, because you're going to say exactly what's getting you down or whatever.
So. And also getting that understanding from the other person is so validating. And also even just knowing they understand, like maybe not completely, but just knowing that they grasp what you're saying and that they're hearing you is a really good feeling. And it doesn't really matter who you talk to. Like, you might not feel like you have anyone, but there's so many resources out there as well.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, letting go and being like, I'm not a failure. Like, you're not failing at life just because you're having a hard time. Like, me and Ellie, like, well, mainly Ellie, Ellie told me that her main mantra at the moment from her mum is, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
And when she said that, like, it really resonated with me, and I put it on, like, a note, and it's on my wall, because it is just, like, this feeling of, like, stress with dissertation and this fear of failure, it will pass.
Yeah.
And the fear is the worst part half the time. If you do fail, that's bad too, but it's so often not even as bad.
No.
Because you can let go.
Yeah.
And just accept it and move on, and it'll be okay. And learn too.
Yeah.
Failure is a huge learning point, I think.
Yeah. It's so needed. You absolutely have to fail to get anywhere in life.
Yeah, you do.
Like, it's a non-negotiable. You have to fail.
Yeah.
And it will just pass. Mm-hmm. It will. You'll get over it.
Yeah,
you will. And you'll get out of it.
And you'll find the things you're good at, and you'll focus on them instead, and be like, I'm never going to be a juggler, and that's okay. Like, that's fine. It's okay, I've got bad hand-eye coordination, that's fine.
Yeah, it's all good. You're not going to fail in life just because you're not going to...
A juggler. Yeah. Or anything else.
No.
Like, it's okay.
It's all good.
Yeah.
And you never know, you might learn later
Maybe
in
I
life.
Maybe I will. There's always time.
Yeah.
There's always time.
In retirement.
You know what? That's a new plan. It's on my bucket list. Maybe.
Cool. Thank you very much for being on here.
That's fine. It was really fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, cheers. So now I think I need to go journal right now.
Yeah, I need to write my dissertation.
Oh, right. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.